So because I have been here now over 3 years, I actually have already preached on this reading in this church. So if you want to hear a more conventional take on this reading, can I recommend that you go and listen to what I said 3 years ago, because I'm going to do something slightly different with the opportunity that this reading gives me today. Because I want to use the reading from Luke as an opportunity to talk more generally about demon possession. And the reason why is for two reasons, because we've talked a lot in the last few years about mental health. And as I read what I read in Luke, I kept thinking to myself, this guy's got mental health stuff going on. And I'm also aware that talking about demons in this world of science and medicine feels very odd to a lot of us. So I wanted to see if what we call demon possession in the Bible is what we now call mental health issues. And I have to confess, I have to show my hand here a little and say that something in my biography has kind of influenced this. So when I became a Christian in my late teens, early 20s, I used to go to a free church, and there was a young girl there my age who had a physical health problem. And the theology of the church was there was that actually it was a demon-related thing. And the response of the church to her and her issues were such that they did not do anything to help her with what it was that she was dealing with. They actually made matters worse. Okay. What happened when I started to read this and I started to write some stuff, though, is that I soon realized that I was out of my depth and out of my comfort zone when I was looking in this area. But I did, however, find a really useful article from the Christian Medical Fellowship. They're a UK-based organization and they've existed for 70 years. So I want to actually just read out to you extracts of what they write about this issue. You just need to be aware that this is a doctor writing to other doctors. Okay, a Christian doctor writing to other Christian doctors about good practice. So some of the language can be a bit demanding. Here goes. Christians have held many different views on how we should apply New Testament accounts of demon possession to our contemporary understanding of spiritual and mental disease. Following the Enlightenment, it has been popular to demythologize the gospel stories of demon possession. Anthropologists, psychotherapists, psychologists, psychiatrists see beliefs about demons' possession as being culturally or socially determined explanations for problems which can otherwise be fully explained medically. However, many Christians still believe that demons really do exist as actual spiritual entities and that they can adversely affect or invade the lives of men and women today. We have three options. Essentially, should we see, one, demon possession as real and therefore a diagnosis for certain kinds of mental illness? Two, demon possession as being a redundant explanation wrongly used in the past to explain what we now know today as mental health issues? Three, or should we see demonic influences as being a factor that can cause mental health issues? Before we go further, it is worth considering how Jesus responded to the erroneous scientific views of his time. We have no account of Jesus ever trying to correct prevailing belief that the earth was flat. He does not seem to have engaged with Luke, who was a doctor, remember, in any dialogue about the cases of any of the illnesses that he healed. Of course, Jesus' mission was not to interfere with the scientific accumulation of human knowledge about the world and the universe, but to win back those who were spiritually lost. To go along with the prevailing errors of medical or scientific kind was not dishonest, but rather a sharing of the human limitations 2,000 plus years ago. When we consider Jesus' understanding of demons, however, it is really not satisfactory to suggest that he was limited by a lack of scientific knowledge. Demons, if they existed, are spiritual beings, and Jesus came to bring spiritual truth. Surely he would not consent to erroneous views regarding the influence of evil in human lives. Furthermore, the gospel provides evidence that Jesus actually saw the casting out of demons as a part of his mission on earth, and that he made it a part of the mission of his disciples. We must therefore be very hesitant to accept any idea that Jesus was simply agreeing with or actively colluding with a primitive misconstruction of the nature of mental illness. In any case, elsewhere the Bible suggests that the Hebrew culture did indeed have an understanding for mental illness and being separate and different from demonic activity or human evil. So even back in the day of the Bible, there was a definition of mental illness that was used separately from that of demonic possession. If mental illness and demon possession are not simply different names of the same thing, then we are left with two possibilities. Either they are unrelated phenomena, or else there is some kind of association between them. Of course, even if they are unrelated, they may still be confused with each other because of similarities in symptoms. If they are related, however, we need to understand the nature of the connection between them. In order to answer some of these questions, we need to turn to the New Testament accounts of demon possession. Jesus clearly cast out evil spirits of many people who he met. However, we are told of 6 cases in detail. The demon-possessed man in the Gerasene, the reading we just heard. A demon-possessed mute man, a demon-possessed blind and mute man. The Canaanite woman's daughter, an epileptic boy. The man in the synagogue at Capernaum. From these accounts, we may see that there is a wide range of symptoms of demon possession. The demon-possessed Gerasene showed enormous strength, cried out loudly, engaged in deliberate self-harm, and immediately recognized Jesus as the Son of God. Others were mute, or blind and mute, or epileptic. We must therefore be wary of imagining that there are invariable and characteristic signs or symptoms of demon possession. What he's saying there is we're not looking for just one sign of demon possession, therefore that must be demon possession. It can express itself in many different ways. We must also apparently look out for demonic influences in the neurological clinics as well as in the psychiatric clinic. This is saying this is not just a matter of mental health issues. Some were blind, some were mute. They're not mental health issues. It would seem, therefore, that the exercise of a spiritual gift, as in 1 Corinthians 12:10, would be likely to be more useful than the application of medical knowledge when a person is demon-possessed. Although a knowledge of psychiatric illness is undoubtedly of value in continuing the diagnosis of a psychiatric illness when one is present. Why is psychiatry particularly thought of as being the area of medicine in which demon possession is most likely to be encountered? It is true that behavioural disturbances and deliberate self-harm, such as that presented by the Gerasene, might also accompany psychiatric disorder. In fact, the range of possible diagnoses in this case is probably quite wide. However, there are no scriptural accounts of demon possession which sounds particularly like schizophrenia as we see it today. Furthermore, there is every reason to believe that the most prevalent psychiatric disorders may have more to do with environmental stress, psychological or biological vulnerability, and social deprivation rather than the influence of evil spirits. Some accounts of demon possession, notably the Gerasene, do present a very convincing example of madness. However, I believe that there is a danger that we look for demon possession amongst those who are psychiatrically ill for a variety of reasons which do not have a basis in their similarity with the description of demon possession as found in the Gerasene, in the Gospels. Psychiatric patients, especially those who are psychotic, behave, speak, and think in ways that we find difficult to understand. We therefore struggle to find an explanation for their experiences. And if science does not have convincing answers, then we look elsewhere. Not only this, but we find this behaviour, speech, and thought of these patients frightening, both because of what they might do to us or others, but also because of the recognition that there but by the grace of God go I. As Christians in psychiatry, then, we have an important responsibility. We need to be informed of the findings and limits of psychiatric research so that we can offer rational scientific explanations and treatments for psychiatric illnesses where they exist. We need to bring healing and show love and care, especially for patients that have been stigmatized by mental illness, just as Jesus showed compassion for those who'd been stigmatized by physical illness. However, we also need to recognize that not all human problems will be explainable by medical science. The New Testament tells us that Jesus has commissioned us to drive out demons, and we must be ready to respond to this commission if and when we are called to do so. We recognize that psychiatric illness can have multiple factors that involve physiological and social as well as physical components. So there are lots of different things that cause mental health issues. Physiological, social, and physical components. Why then should not spiritual factors also play a part? For example, if people can become depressed because they are bereaved or because of physical illness, why should they not also become depressed because of demonic interference in their lives? Thus we must keep in mind a truly holistic view of the human condition, which involves not only the physical and the psychological and the social, but also the spiritual dimensions. Psychiatrists are particularly familiar with assessing the physical and social as well as the physiological aspects of their patients. Like other doctors, they need to ensure that they do not neglect the spiritual dimension of life. However, I am not convinced that psychiatric clinics are particularly full of unrecognized demonic influences. Neither is the recognition of demonic possession a question of medical diagnosis, although a psychiatric assessment may sometimes assist a non-medical minister, so somebody like me, to avoid attributing a primary psychological disturbance to a demonic activity. What it's suggesting is that somebody like me could do sometimes with somebody that has psychiatric training so that I don't make the mistake of saying that's demonic when actually it's a psychological condition. Rather, I believe that we may encounter demonic activity in all walks of our lives, just as Jesus did. If and when we have such an encounter, we can be confident in his authority over such matters, an authority which he has delegated to us. In conclusion, then, demon possession and mental illness are not simply alternative diagnoses to be offered when a person presents with deliberate self-harm or violent behaviour, although they may need to be distinguished in such circumstances, whether by spiritual discernment or the application of basic psychiatric knowledge. It would seem reasonable to argue that demon possession may be a factor in some cases of mental illness, but it may also be a factor that non-psychiatric conditions, that a factor in some non-psychiatric conditions, and in other cases, it may be encountered in the absence of psychiatric or medical disorder. Furthermore, demon possession is essentially a spiritual problem, not mental, but mental illness is a multifactorial affair. Many things, in fact, impact upon mental illness, in which spiritual, social, physiological and physical factors may all play a role. The relationship between these concepts is therefore complex, as is this talk, I grant you. Diagnostic skills may have a part to play in offering help to those whose problems could be demonic or medical or of a medical psychiatric origin. However, and this is where he ends, spiritual discernment is important in such matters. I recognise that that was quite a full-on medical explanation. And I kind of want to, the teacher in me wants to say, do you have any questions? Because I can give you this guy's email address. What I would hope, though, is that if I will send out some questions to connect groups and possibly also on the website for you to kind of unpick that a bit further, because there is a lot there, and you can see why I felt as I was sort of putting it together that I was feeling increasingly outside of my comfort zone. But I wanted to share with you somebody in the field appraisal, or balanced appraisal, I feel, of there are some things that are psychiatric. Most things are psychiatric. There's some things that are beyond that, and that actually in all these things we are complete human beings, and complete human beings includes that element that is within us that is spiritual. Amen.